All right, well, as you all know, and if you don't know, shame on you, you just sent a missions team to the nation of Chad. And here it is. Here is your team. Well, at least three of them. The rest of them are the huts. And we've kind of called this Mission Completed, Objectives Achieved, Christ Adored and Glorified. And let me explain that. So it's obviously the mission is completed. We went, we saw, we conquered, and we returned. But also, objectives were achieved. And we had some very specific objectives that we were to meet as we went. And one of those objectives was to encourage the huts, to be there while they were, while Sarah was in the UK going to classes. And we were able to spend a good deal of time there with the huts and really encouraging them and helping them out. And it was a real blessing to walk into the kitchen in the morning and you see Natalie, you know, combing hair and, you know, putting ponytails up and Karen over there, you know, putting milk in the bowls and pouring cereal in and really helping that family out, and that family appreciated it a great deal. But also really there to encourage Justin. You know, and I'll talk about this here in a moment, but that was, you know, it was very encouraging to him that his church family, those who sent him off, would come all the way to Africa and be with him and spend time with him and encourage him and pray with him and just be a support to him. And so those objectives were certainly achieved. We also did some other things, and we'll be getting into those things here in a moment. But I want you to know that this was a great trip, and everything we had hoped we would achieve, we did. And the ultimate reason for this is that Jesus Christ would be adored and glorified. That's why we did it. And I think he was, in fact, adored and glorified. So with that, I'm going to call Karen to come on up, and Karen's going to share a little bit about some of the things that she encountered. You might want to grab that.
Oh, that mic.
That mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna put it over here.
It was on when I handed it to you.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay. There we go. Okay. All right. Did you want to pull up that recording? Thanks. Our wake-up call every morning, we'll hear a recording of the Muslim call of prayer. And it started at 4:30 in the morning. It sounded much worse than what we're pulling up. Another audio that I'll be doing a little bit later. But in the nature, in the Muslim culture, you know, it's customary to wear a lafai, which is a kind of an outer garment. You tie it on. And I guess I need to pull that up. Okay, so here we are. We're learning how to put this on. Now, Natalie managed to figure out how to do it after the experts were there. And I never tried it. But we both did wear these scarves that we're putting on as head coverings, because it is important to be able to identify with the people in the culture when you're going to share Christ with them in an unoffensive way. All right, this is a slide of where, our first Sunday in Chad, we fellowshipped with Muslim background believers. And unlike the church services that we have, that we're used to, it's outside. It's on mats, and it's in Arabic. Now, Justin was really good to translate for us, but even without that, there was the bond of Christ. We knew that we were brothers and sisters in Christ. So you want to pull up that other audio? But I wanted you to hear, you know, the difference between the music of the Muslims and ours. Now, this doesn't happen to be at that same place because I didn't get an audio on there singing. But this is similar. This is at their school. All right.
What are they saying?
What are they saying? I don't really.
Someone asked on the chat.
Yeah, Christ is Lord.
Yeah, Christ is Lord.
Okay,
yeah.
Christ is Lord. All right. So, all right. So on Monday we. Okay, on Monday we got to participate in the team meeting of the people, the urban team. And so the way that would be set up is that they would share their problems, their concerns, what they've been doing through the week, and rejoice in the things that happened that were a good thing. We met Marlene and who is the, there's myself and then there's Marlene. And Marlene has been in the in Chad for 25 years. Not in this particular, now not always in N'Djamena, but she's been in there, and she just really crosses cultural barriers in order to get the gospel to people. She's she can approach men and women equally. One of the things that you couldn't see in that first slide was that there were two very severely handicapped men in that gathering, and she was instrumental in having them come to Christ. And obviously one of the things that Christ gives that the Muslim culture does not give is dignity, hope, and light. So, anyway, trying to think. Oh, Erin. Erin is new to the field. She's just learning the culture, just learning the language. I love her enthusiasm, and I think she'll be a good part of the team. I just thought, too, that it's so important to know that our missionaries struggle with knowing what to believe about, the things that they observe. They don't have an inside track on people's hearts. And so, it's important that we pray for them so that they have discernment. This is taken as we went to see a woman by the name of Ashta. This is her family. She's a new believer. This is, she has 12 children. She's a single mother. The 12th one she actually adopted because it was an orphan. And I can't even imagine trying to take that on. I loved hearing her testimony. I loved hearing how she makes it a point to go back to people in the Muslim culture and give them the gospel. One of the things that we had done was to deliver them Bibles and story cards and tracts. Now, the I don't know if, yeah, the woman in the middle is called is the grandmother, and she picked me out of the group, and she says, "Does she believe too?" And apparently, and she said, "The gray haired lady." So she said, apparently she thought that believers were young and that you kind of lose your salvation. I mean, I don't know exactly what she thought, but I was able to give my testimony and also to include in that testimony things that I have struggled with because of being a believer and being rejected as a result. So just pray for grandmother that she would come to know Christ. All right. This is taken when we were, there's two side-by-side slides. I don't know if you can tell that for sure when you looked at it. But we went out and saw some of what it's like outside of the city, and we got stuck. the dust is pervasive. It's everywhere. The sand is everywhere. The heat is everywhere. It's just something that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. I wanted to tell you that what it was like in the day of a regular day. We would get up at 6, eat breakfast, get the kids ready for school. Breakfast was really simple, but there were two cereal choices. If you cold cereal, I should say. If you wanted to have cold cereal, then you, in order to have milk, then you would mix the water and the powdered milk, and that was your breakfast. If you wanted the hot cereal, then you had to pour the boiling water in your bowl and cook it right there. You didn't have it on the stove or in the microwave. So quite different than what we're used to. At some point during the day, I got the opportunity, and I love this opportunity because I got to help Amina with her schoolwork. She's 5, and she's learning her to read, and so we go through the reading lessons and also help her to learn number recognition. Those were the biggest things. The afternoon, about 1 o'clock, we went to pick up the kids from school. Came back, ate at lunch that the Chadian housekeeper had prepared for us. Had a wonderful amount of different things that she prepared. And then the afternoon was pretty quiet. It was kind of a rest period and unstructured. We tried to eat supper around 5:30 so that we can start the process of getting them ready for bed. And that would include family worship. And family worship would be start with singing. Everyone would tell something that they were thankful for, and then we would pray. And then it was time to get everybody cleaned up and go to bed. And then we would, we adults, after the kids were in bed, would retire to the rooftop and have an opportunity to debrief and pray. So, there's a view of what it looked like from the rooftop. There was one house. You can't tell it, but that's spiral staircase is pretty scary. There's no railing on the outside. All right, and now we'll have Natalie.
Hi, good morning. I chose this as my first picture because I felt like it kind of was what I thought Africa looked like. This was in the middle of nowhere. The city, it was beautiful there, but the city was so different. I really didn't know what to expect. It was pretty dirty and busy, people, traffic everywhere. There were basically no rules on the road, but nothing terrible happened, so that's good. The life there is very different than anything I've been exposed to. There's the language barrier, which was challenging at times, but we always seem to have a good translator with us, Justin, first and foremost, as he could translate both French and Arabic for us. But with all of the differences, and I think it's been mentioned a couple of times, it was so wonderful to see what we did have in common, which is our faith in Christ. And this meeting that we had on a Sunday morning, sitting on mats and singing and reading the Bible with other believers, was just priceless and an amazing opportunity to see that. So this is Aaron and I, also at that really beautiful spot out in the wilderness. It was really neat to meet her, and also Marlene, who we mentioned. Especially with Sarah not being there, we did see her for a bit at the end. It was so wonderful to have these ladies come up with us the first day that we were there to teach us how to do the scarves, to some do's and don'ts for the ladies specifically. So that was wonderful, and also hearing their stories. Erin had only been there 2 weeks, but she was just a fountain of information, helped us learn some of the greetings and a couple of words. So they were a wonderful help. There's us tying on the scarves, the lefais. So you already saw this picture, but I wanted to share it again, and it was just amazing for us to go, and this was without Justin. Marlene was our only translator when we went to go visit Ashta's house, or actually it was a friend's house of hers, but it was so different to see the life that they have there, the dirt floors, some dirt walls, and just very primitive, very poor. But they were still so thankful and so bold in the gospel with wanting to share these Bibles with people, and so they were still on fire in other ways. Also along that with being bold in the gospel is this man, Bashir. You might have heard some of his story from the HUTS updates. So I won't get into that, but we did sit for like 2-3 hours. he was given a Bible just in a store. A man was like a short-term missionary there or visiting, and he handed out, I think, 18 Bibles or New Testaments in Arabic to a bunch of guys. 17 of them threw them away and did not care. Bashir kept his. He read it in like 2-3 days and then continued to reread it for the next couple of weeks. And was able to get in touch with, I think, the original man that gave him them, and then the team after that. So people like Justin and Dave, who's part of their team, they could really minister to him and take that on. Though I knew some of his story before because of the updates, it was amazing to hear it from him. Justin still translated it for us. He knew just a few words in English that we could communicate with. But it was still neat to sit there and just kind of take it all in. He has been persecuted terribly for his faith, and even went into some detail for us, and you could tell he was still processing it and will be hurting for a while, but he would always say, "I love Jesus Christ so much," and he called me sister because of that bond, and he's very bold in sharing his faith with other people, even with all the adversity. So that was a wonderful afternoon. He came one other time to study with Justin, but that was a much shorter visit. So there's all the kids. Usually at least one of them was touching me or Karen. It was wonderful to kind of get to know them better, all their personalities, and nuances. We did a lot of coloring. And they taught me a lot too, especially Justice and also Sophia. They're so brave and amazing in their lives. Sophia will go by herself down this road to a local market with the Arabic word for bread in her mind and however much money she needs, and she will go get them bread almost every day. So it's amazing to see how they have adapted their and their life. I learned a lot from them, and just had a great time being with the family, seeing Justin not only in the ministry there, but also him as a dad without Sarah there, really being able to come alongside their family and have a normal life there was really, really neat. So there's us at the end of the trip with Sarah. I'm sure many of you have heard, had our flight canceled because of all the dust. They had this crazy dust storm. And even though that had been the night that we were originally scheduled to leave, for me it didn't quite feel right. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I was going to do it. I went to the airport. I went through security and customs. And then our flight was canceled. And so we had to go back. It was rescheduled for the next day, and maybe we were going to be able to see Sarah for like an hour or so, but then it got delayed even again. So we had like an extra day and a night with Sarah there. And I think as much as that can be inconvenient and a little crazy, I know that God was behind the timing of that, because seeing Sarah reunited with her family, being able to talk with her a bit, having one more rooftop conversation and prayer time, which those I treasure, those were wonderful. That was just a much more complete ending to it and a beautiful send-off as we began our very long journey home. So that was something that that I was very blessed to have experienced even at the end. So it's so hard to try to pick things out to share with people. There's so much that we saw and experienced, and I learned a lot how diverse the body of Christ really is, and that language doesn't matter in that sense, and what he can do through people that are willing. I mean, this is a hard life there, and we met so many people that have given up so much to minister there in Chad, and so that was just beautiful to see, and just a wonderful experience.
You're next. May I share one more thing? Okay. Well, Pastor Kenny had asked if we would share something that we were taught, or that how God revealed himself through, you know, our experience. And what I had chosen to share came from a kind of a synthesis of many things that happened. But I realized how God paid an extremely high price for us. And when he did so, we were worthless. We were broken. We were even enemies of him. But once we were bought by Jesus Christ, we became precious, very precious to him.
So one of the things I wanted to share with all of you is to let you know kind of where they live. You know, a lot of times when people are, you know, sending out newsletters, you want to be able to see, like, where do they live? And so I wanted to share, this is the front of their house. As we pull into the front gate, this is what meets you. They still have some painting to be done on it, but it's a quite nice house. Doesn't have air conditioning, which I think that could be something that they should think about adding at some point. But they do have running water, and they have electricity most of the time during the day. You know, we lose electricity around 2 o'clock, and it's out for a couple of hours until we get it back. I'm not exactly sure why that is. It's just peak hours, or, you know, brownouts, or whatever it is. But this is their home. This is a bus is their kind of a, he's their guard. Basically, most people have a guard of some kind, and they pay them a certain wage every month. And a bus lives there. And the one side is a block house, and the other side is more like a summer house. One is very cool, and the other, and he actually has an air conditioner. So he's actually doing much better than the huts are. But also, too, there's no windows in that. So you kind of need to have something to have some air in there. But a bus, whenever we pull up to the gate, we honk the horn, a bus opens up the gate. And so I was trying to think of the guy in Asgard, you know, the guy that does the whole, opens up the, and I was going to start calling him that, but I couldn't remember the name. But anyway, so this is kind of the yard, and you'll see some of these trees here that they've been planting. A bus plants all these trees. He makes sure that they all get watered and taken care of. These are some of the rooms in their house. This one on the side is this is their living room, so that's the front door as you walk in. This is the kitchen. And then this is the kids' bedroom. Now, I had one for Sarah and Justin's bedroom, but it's not much different than this one, so I just left it out. But that's their inside of their house. But really, the reason why I came to Chad was really because of this guy. that's why I went. And, houses are great, gatekeepers are great, all of that. But this man I love dearly. When Justin was here, and most of you know, and for those of you who don't know, Justin was here for 8 years as an assistant pastor before God sent him to Chad. And when he was here, I had a nickname for him. Does anybody remember the nickname that I had for
Padawan?
Padawan, right? Does anybody know what a Padawan is? Okay, what is a Padawan? Yes, a Jedi in training, right, a Jedi in training, and that's what I always called him, and it was even funny because I just got to the point where I would just always call him Padawan, never called him by his name, I just always called him Padawan, and I'd be preaching, and I would be discussing something, I'd say, yeah, Padawan and I were talking about this or that, you know, and certain people would be like, who's Padawan, so they'd ask afterwards, who's Padawan, I'd say, oh, that's Justin, I'm sorry, that's Pastor Justin, oh, okay, well, what does Padawan mean, you know? So he was my Padawan, and I want you to know that when I got there, I was his, and the master became the student, and the student became the master, and that man was made for Chad, and he was made to be in that place with those people preaching the gospel. He understands the culture. He's very comfortable in it. He moves along very, very easily in it. And I learned an awful lot from him. He taught me the ways of the master, in Chad. And we just had a really wonderful time. And he and I, many times, we would just take off, just he and I, we'd go off someplace. We'd talk about how he's doing in life and how he's doing with his wife and his kids. And I'd talk about my life. And we just, catching up. That was very encouraging for me. He also gave us a lot of opportunities for teaching. One of the so Karen had shared a video, and it's in this room where they were singing. This is the Tyrannus School, just like Tyrannus, the school of Tyrannus in the book of Acts. And these are people who are Muslim background believers, and they have come to Christ. And they are now going through an intense, they aren't all Muslim background believers. Some of them are Christians, were born and raised in Christian homes. But about half of them are Arabic and the other half are French. What that means is that there's tension in the classroom and there's tension among them because there are some issues between the South and the North in Chad, just like in Sudan. There's a lot of animosity between the Northerners and the Southerners, the same way in Chad. Matter of fact, in many African nations, it's that way. So there is a tension there, but they're learning that they're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what's so encouraging. I was asked by Mofti. Mofti is an Egyptian man who helps run the school. And he asked if I would do a devotion before the class started. So there I am doing my devotion. I had two translators, one in French, one in Arabic. So I had to wait on two different translations. And he told me, you've got 10 minutes. 10 minutes and two translations, you know? So I got it done in 12. So I was thankful. 2 minutes, 2 minutes over. You know, you guys are like, if he would just go only 2 minutes over in our church, you know. So I was able to share from Ephesians chapter 2 with them. It's a nice time. Here we all are together. Here's the whole school together. That's Mofti. And this is the instructor. I never met him. He came in after I did my devotion, so I never met him, but he was one of the instructors. And there's a man here, right here. See him where the laser pointer is? His name is Benjamin. Benjamin, before he came to Christ, and he had just come to Christ just a few weeks before this, or maybe a few months before this, he had gone to Libya and joined a terrorist group there in Libya and was training as a terrorist and was actually involved in an attack where they left Libya and went to Chad and attacked a French mission, burned down the hospital, destroyed the whole place, and then got out of there as quickly as they could. And all, as they were fleeing, they spent the night somewhere, and he went to sleep and he had a dream. This is very big in the Muslim culture. He had a dream. And in the dream, he describes a man in white that came to him and said, "You need to go and talk to somebody about who Jesus is." And it just really impressed him. And so he went, and he said, "Well, who knows about Jesus? The Christians know about Jesus." So he went to the Christians, and he asked them about Jesus, and they preached the gospel to him. He heard the gospel, and he believed. And now he's at the school of Tyrannus, and he's learning. And Mofti's got some questions about Benjamin. He's because of his background, he tends to be very intense about things. He was the one that was singing. He was the one that was dancing around in the white shirt. That was him. So anyway, pray for Benjamin, please. Pray for Benjamin. We really hope that his profession of faith is legitimate and real. So, that was the school of Tyrannus. Now, these are three guys. Now, there's actually a total of nine. These guys are from Nigeria, okay? So, you've got Damami, you've got Abiola, and Ola, right? It's like hello in Spanish. And these guys are, like I said, they're Nigerians, and they're there studying classical Arabic. That's why they're in Chad, is studying classical Arabic. All three of these guys are going back to, along with their other 16 members, they're going back into to Nigeria, and they're going to be focused in on the area that is under the control of Boko Haram. Okay, so we remember Boko Haram, the terrorist group that kidnapped all those little girls. They're going into the lair, basically. And that's where they're going to be preaching the gospel is to them. Well, the way I got to know them, Don Lamy here, he comes to Justin, and we were playing volleyball, and he says, Justin, do you know anything about a guy named John Piper? And Justin says, yeah, I know him. I know about him. He's pretty good, you know. And he says, well, can you tell me more? And he says, well, I'll tell you who you can talk to. And knows all about him, is that guy over there. You know, he pointed at me, and so he comes over, and he says, yeah, I'd like to talk to you. Well, so we talked and everything, and I was just so impressed by these guys. I mean, the depth these guys have, the theology these guys have. So I was super jazzed about them. I've been corresponding with them, and when we were at the expat service, kind of felt like they were my groupies or something. They're kind of like sitting around me, you know, and as I go up to preach, and I sit that back down, but great guys, and I know that there are many people that God's going to save in Nigeria through the ministry of these men. So please keep them in prayer. I'm going to be a source of, I'm going to be a resource for them, all kinds of materials, and so you have not heard the last of these guys. Here was at the expat service. One of the things we had to do there is I was given the opportunity to preach from Acts 10 to a group of expats. And this is a much bigger and more people than I realized. I mean, we had embassy workers from both the British consulate as well as the American embassy. We also had embassy workers from some of the other embassies around. But we had French, and we had Germans, and we had, you know, English and Irish and South Africans and Australians and every other thing there. And I was given the opportunity to preach. Thankfully, it was in English, so I didn't have to wait for any translations. And so that was a wonderful time to be able to preach God's word to those folks. We also had some cultural things. This is camel. This is camel. So we went out. I told Justin, I said, I will not leave Chad until I have camel. So we went to get some camel, and this is basically the restaurant, nice dirty area, you know, with dirt floor and a mat, and you just take off your shoes there. And then you take a seat on the mat, and then a guy comes out, he brings your food, and he's barefooted and sets the food on the ground, so he walks around your food barefooted, 30 feet at that. And the stray cats walking around the edges, that was a very nice touch. But that was the way it was. I mean, that was the way it was. And you just sit there and you just share one big plate. You reach in and you eat. And you have some little sauces there. And you look at the young lady or the ladies. Boy, they were digging in. You know, it was very, very good. Now the problem is we were supposed to ride camels the next day, but alas, we ate the camels that we were supposed to be riding. It seems that you can't eat your camel and ride it too. I got a laugh out of all the international people at the expat. I had to get some more mileage out of that one. Yeah. But it was quite good, and we didn't get sick. We went out; everything was fine. We also just had some fun and just went off and did things, you know. And we saw some camels. We did things. We went off roading. We found some shepherds and these little shepherd boys right here. These guys, they're little Arab shepherd boys. And we yelled at them and said, "Hey, can we ride one of those camels?" Because he had a group of camels that had just walked through. And I said, "Hey, can we ride those camels?" And he says, "Yeah, come on, you know, let's go." You know. So we didn't ride the camels, but we just had some fun, you know, just going out and enjoying the countryside and just some fun time, some downtime. And then it was time to go home, and we've shared how many delays we've had trying to get back here, but finally the aircraft got airborne and took us home. We were anticipating that we would end up having to land in Cairo or something like that and end up going everywhere else, but we were able to go right to Paris and we spent the night there in Paris and came back. So anyway, wonderful time, and like I said, God was glorified, I believe, in our trip. And I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting us. And praying for us, and you know, so many people were asking how everything's going and following us on Instagram and so forth, and I do want to thank each of you for your prayers and for your concerns, and I also want to say, you know, so Karen has been on the missions trip before. This is the first mission trip that Natalie was on, and I want to tell you something. Natalie, she knocked it out of the park, didn't she? Knocked it out of the park. I mean, she just jumped right in there, and it was just neat to watch her, you know, kind of finding her place and finding how to minister and putting on her little thing there, you know, and she was a pretty tough little gal, wasn't she? I was impressed by that. So what did I learn? Well, one of the things I learned was, you know, the world is broken, terribly broken, and in the West we don't often see it. Because in the West, we have a thin veneer of technology and clean streets and running water and so forth. And so we don't see the brokenness because we're so familiar with it. When you go to Chad, you see brokenness. Standing there as they were going in to visit with Ashdales outside, and a woman came out. She had a kitten in her hand, just a small little kitten. And you could hear the kitten screeching, and she just threw the kitten on the ground and walked out, and the kids ran around the thing, was poking at the cat, and you know, you're looking at that and you're like, oh my goodness, I mean, just cruel, you know. And you see this with animals, the way they treat animals, and just the way they treat each other and treat people, and he's like, wow, this place is broken. Well, we're just as broken, maybe even more broken. But sometimes God has to take us into another place
so that we're not familiar with it and we can see the brokenness. And it made me yearn for the new heavens and the new earth, when creation will be brought back to the way it's supposed to be, and we will be forever with the Lord. That's why we preach the gospel, so that as many people as possible will enter into that same blessed state that we are looking forward to. Okay, so with that, I want to open it up for any questions that you might have. We got a couple of minutes, so maybe we'll take maybe two or three questions. And these questions are not just to me. It can be to either Karen or Natalie, or it can be to me. So if you have any questions, go ahead and fire away. Jen. Oh, the Arabic?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You remember it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Salah. You don't put the article, you put the article the second time. So, yeah, when you flip it, that's when you're saying it. Okay, so you say Salam Alaikum. Salam Alaikum. And then when you're going to part, you would say Alaikum Assalam. Right? And that's walking away. That's saying, okay, I'm leaving now. So you just reverse the thing, and then you have to use the article for the salam, which is salam. So is that correct?
I think so.
Okay. And so yeah, so that's the greeting. Yeah. And then of course the French greeting. If you don't want to do that, just bonjour. that's the easy one.
Hey, Kenny. Okay.
Okay, you're talking about Mubarak. Mubarak wasn't there because he's in Uganda, but he'll be coming back. But you're right. I mean, that's a situation you do have to be concerned about. In fact, the team leader said that there's a security situation now because they've been getting calls almost every day from Mubarak's parents urging them to tell them where he is. And of course, nobody wants to say where he is. And the concern is that they might snatch one of the missionaries and say, you give us ours and we'll give you yours, you know. That's not likely that's going to happen, but it is. There's always a possibility that something like that could happen. But as far as us, I felt perfectly safe, and you're very safe there. I mean, safe within, you're as safe as you can be, you know, in a third world country. So we have a massive embassy there with hundreds and hundreds of people there working. So if we got snatched, you know, that would be priority one for them to figure out where we are, get us back.
Okay. Natalie mentioned that you were told some do's and don'ts as ladies to beware of. Is there anything really startling in those do's and don'ts, especially the don'ts?
Yeah, not really. Some of the things I think I'd already been kind of warned about with a lot of the believers there, whether they were chatting or not, like they would greet you and you could sit with them and stuff. But in that culture, especially with Muslims, like I would never shake somebody's hand or really even make eye contact. If you were going to pass somebody in the road and they start talking to you, you just say, I do not speak your language, and you keep walking. Even if they start talking in English, like, you would just walk, I do not speak your language, you know, and walk away. There were, I didn't have it, I think, because I was with the family so much, but Erin, the young girl on the team, she had people coming up to her with proposals, and, like, so.
So are you saying specifically men in that culture, or
right. So I could greet a woman or talk with her, which I mean I couldn't really,
sure. Yeah.
But that would be okay. So there wasn't anything, and I didn't get yelled at for doing anything wrong. So I think it was okay. It wasn't too extreme from what I was already thinking it would be.
And white people and white women are given a lot of deference. You know, Marlene has no problem going up to a man and approaching, you know.
She has no problem with it.
Yeah. Justin said he saw her in the market, and she's doing this, he's driving by, and she's like this, and they got all these men, she's preaching the gospel to them, you know, and her hands are up here, you know, and she's going to town. So, yeah, she does
breaks
it.
All those
yeah, barriers. She breaks all
yeah.
the taboos.
So how was the, in a Muslim culture and everything, you know, like the date, the call to prayer that starts at 4:30 and then there's like four more times a day and stuff, like, do they shut down? I mean, what's the, is the population religious about that? Is everyone just basically like go off to the places and nothing's happening, or is it just kind of a, if you're over, the overly religious or whatever, you're going to go do that and everyone else is off doing their own thing, or, how is...
Well, it doesn't stop traffic. When we were in the museum in the village, that there was a call to prayer, and he just kept on going, with his spiel. It did not shut that down. But you will also see, people doing their prayers. Because at first I didn't understand why all the men were standing, in a row, and then. But then you would see them go to the other positions too. But I just didn't understand at first what they were doing. But
yeah, you'd see groups like by the side of the road even, and they would stop and some of you'd stand up or you'd get your face like on the ground, and so you would see that. But some, and they had I think enough prayer calls that they do kind of skip some and make sure they go to others. And yeah, it might depend on that person. So we did see a lot, but it wasn't like it was like quiet on the streets because it was still very bustle.
So did you prefer the hump roast to rump roast?
I don't know what part I was eating. I have no idea.
He's been waiting for that.
Okay, so we're out of time, but one real quick one.
I was going to say, so what's the plans for the future to support the huts?
Buy them an air conditioner.
Yeah. we are actually planning on Chad 2021. Chad 2021. We actually have the Rices are going to be already kind of stepped up, and they're going to be a part of that. We'll see if God has any other laborers he's going to be sending out to the harvest. But that's definitely going to happen, Lord willing, Chad 2021. So be sure and pray over that. Pray and see if God would be able to use you in that way to Chad 2021. So okay, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord and pray. Is there one question? There was somebody had a hand up. I don't want to get paid.
Yeah. Question about the use of the left hand. I know in Ghana that's considered the potty hand. Yeah. Like that chant also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Eating,
using
money.
That
was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Modesty is hard to dress. In Ghana, men can't wear shorts. That's considered immodest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same way. Yeah, as much as I wished I could wear a pair of shorts, I couldn't. I had to wear long pants. So, that's part of it. And of course it's dry, so it's not terrible. It's not, you're not sweating to death or anything like that. So, okay, well, let me close this in a word of prayer. And you guys go ahead and go on back to the table. If you have any further questions, be sure and connect with Karen and Natalie, and they'll be at the back table, and I'll be making my way there too if you have any questions. We've got some stuff back there if you want to take a look at some things that we picked up from Chad. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us this time to be able to just to talk about what we did in Chad. I pray, Lord, that what we shared was beneficial both to your church, but also glorifying to your Son. We thank you, Lord, for his cross and what it means for us and our eternal salvation. May we always rejoice in the cross and the cross alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.